Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson. Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Thank you. Sorry. So 6 of 7 council members are present, two via Zoom. And I believe Councilmember Nicholson will be joining us by Zoom soon. If you would please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Standish will announce upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Historic Preservation Commission will be meeting on March 7th at 5 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. The Public Safety Personnel Retirement System Board will be meeting on March 14th at 2 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. The March 14th Water Utility Commission meeting has been canceled. And then next, the Budget and Finance Commission will be meeting on March 15th at 4 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. And then the next Town Council regular session is scheduled for March 16th at 6 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. Councilmember Jones Ivy has a council report this evening. Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank everyone that participated in the Project Grad Golf happy hour last month. It was projected to raise $7,500 and it actually raised $11,000. So from me and Jeanette Cowles, who is the Project Grad fundraiser, we thank you very much. Our next fundraiser is going to be Friday, March 4th from 5 to 8 at James D. Craig Park. This is a Guns and Hoses kickball match. The participants are going to be Northwest Fire District of Marana, our own Golder Ranch Fire District, also Tucson Police Department, and our very own Oral Valley Police Department. I'm encouraging you to come out for this event. It is free to the public. There will be t-shirts being sold with our sponsors on it. So please come, have fun, buy a t-shirt. There will be food. There's also going to be a 50-50 raffle. So please come out. Again, this is to support Project Grads. This is our 19th year. Our graduates have had a safe and sane graduation celebration for 19 years, and that is something to be excited about. So please come out and support this event. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones Ivy. Are there other Councilmember Bowen has a council report?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. While I am out of town, a resident did reach out to me and other council members yesterday with an email informing me of the presence of a sign at Steam Pump Ranch near the garage project. And there's something on this sign that was brought to my attention. And there's text on the sign that implies that the project itself is brought to you by the town of Oral Valley Mayor and Council. And I've read this carefully several times, not by the town of Oral Valley and the mayor and council, but by the town of Oral Valley Mayor and Council. And as a council member who's greatly appreciative that this work is being done, still, I don't think it's appropriate at all that such a project, which is clearly a team effort by everybody, the taxpayers, the staff, the contractors, the council, you name it, the users of the facility. And I just don't think that the... And I hope that other members of the council will go out and look at this sign, and I hope that this sign will be taken down, particularly during election season. I don't think that anything that highlights the accomplishments of people that are in office should be allowed to stay up, because to me, it's effectively a campaign sign. And I would like to think that our elections are completely fair and that incumbents and challengers have the same opportunity to reach out to the public. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Bowen. It's my understanding that the banner has been removed. Other council reports? I'd like to briefly report, I think as many of our community knows, the council members frequently join our Chamber of Commerce and member of our staff to make business visits. And I recently had the opportunity to join Mr. Perry and Ms. Adler on a visit to the Fry's Food Store at Oracle and Home Depot. I wanted to highlight in particular Fry's Food Stores. We met with the manager and with an executive team member out of Phoenix, and I learned some remarkable things that the Fry's Food Stores, in terms of their support to our community and communities throughout Arizona. For example, they have provided 12 million meals. They also, in regards to food waste that's diverted from our landfills, amounts to 7.6 million pounds. And they also in Arizona have recycled 86 million pounds of cardboard and 3.4 million pounds of plastics. They're also the fifth largest employer in Arizona. And I know we as residents certainly appreciate all of our food stores and the service, the employment that they provide, the training, the upward mobility that they offer. And I wanted to recognize this evening the efforts of Fry's in particular. Thank you. With that, Ms. Jacobs will present her report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Just one item. Friday is National Employee Recognition Day. And so I just want to take a moment this evening and recognize all of the incredible employees of the town of Oro Valley for what they do every single day to make Oro Valley the place that it is to live in, and just hope that our residents will see in a Facebook post and other social media on Friday, we're gonna really do it up and recognize our employees. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. I've had a request this evening to switch regular items 1 and 2, so to bring item 2 ahead of item number 1. Are there any objections by council?
Who made the request?
The request was made by Vice Mayor Barrett.
And for what reason?
Vice Mayor?
But Councilmember Solomon, item number 2 was the item that I had brought to the agenda, and I may have to leave early from the meeting, so that was the reason from the request. But I'm going to try and not have to, but I might.
Any objections to switching those 2 items? Okay, hearing none, we'll move item 2 ahead of item number 1 of the regular agenda. So again, I want to welcome each of you this evening. We're glad to continue meeting in person. We recognize that COVID cases in our area, state, and nation remain high. The CDC website indicates that Pima County is still considered a high transmission area. So the county has reiterated the importance of continuing to wear masks indoors until that designation changes. Should you need a mask, you can help yourself to masks provided in the dispensers by the door. And we appreciate all that you're doing to keep our community safe. For those attending this evening that would wish to speak on an agenda item or during call to audience, I'd invite you to please fill out a blue card located at the back of the room and hand it to the town clerk. Thank you. We'll go to the call to audience portion of our agenda, and I have 2 call to audience blue cards. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. I'd like to invite at this time Christy Simone to come forward. If you'd please state your name and whether you are a resident of Oro Valley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening. My name is Christy Simone, and I am definitely a resident of Oro Valley. Haven't seen you guys in a couple of years. Been a little weird, as you guys all know. But there are definitely some things that are concerning me about the way this town looks and acts. First of all, as you know, I'm a guy who's coached soccer for years. I'm crawling around a lot of our parks. Our parks look like hell. They're horrendous. The Ron Hobb Park should be one of the jewels of what we have. And I have seen so many potholes in that field that there is just a youth soccer player waiting to rip their knee apart. It's disgusting. You guys need to get out there more. Okay? Garbage on President's Day weekend. There was either a football or a cross tournament there on Saturday. And God forbid, we didn't have anyone out there actually cleaning the garbage up. Maybe he came Monday. He or she came Monday. Both mornings that I was out there, there were literally piles of garbage on the ground around it because no one, like we couldn't actually say we're going to pay someone to empty the garbage after field usage. Okay, we're starting the slouch towards the city of Tucson and Pima County levels of looking like not being a community of excellence. I don't know what's going on with our roadsides, some of our tree work. I don't know what's going on, but Oro Valley is looking shabbier over the last couple of years. And I implore you to really start trying to manage your employees here. I know it's Employee Appreciation Day, but I'm also noticing a disconnect when I interact with staff and as a citizen, that there's a disconnect, maybe everyone working from home or these type of things, but this community of excellence thing that we keep saying, we're not living up to it. And the other thing is, I'd like to say, you know, economic development issues, you guys really have to get serious because we have some real issues coming up in relation to as we're a tax revenue kind of city. You know, it's nice that you meet with the business owners and that's all good, but you know something? We have a real disconnect, I think, on what the next 10 years of economic development look like in this town. And I love my boy Jonathan over there as our town attorney, but he is a partisan Democrat. He has received donations from Sylvan or her husband, who's on the Oro Valley Town Marketplace thing. He's also from Mr. Lopez and Mr. Horvath. I don't know if you guys knew this when you hired him, but you guys, I don't understand how you guys did that. Again, nice guy. I like Jonathan, but it doesn't look good. And I'm surprised some developer in the future doesn't make a big stink out of it one day. So anyway, there's lots of stuff to talk about. I know I only have 3 minutes, but you guys got to wake up and you really have to start managing your employees, or at least one of them. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Alex Blandaburgo. State your name and whether you're a resident of Oro Valley.
Yes, my name is Alex Blandaburgo, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. I live in Vista Del Oro Estates off of Lambert Lane, and I've lived there for 25 years. My wife and I moved here from New York 26 years ago, and we walk Lambert Lane along the path daily. You know, we have for years. And I realize that we're coming out of a pandemic, and things are challenging and difficult for staff. I work at the U of A. I manage a large staff as well, so I understand that. But I have seen over the past several years a kind of decline in that bike path, the loop, you know, so on the south and north side. I have reached out to discuss some of my concerns, and my concerns have been the increasing amount of dog feces along that. I mean, 1/4 mile stretch, I counted 35 loads. Now, I know that is a constituent responsibility to clean them up after themselves, but we all have responsibilities, and I think the town has a responsibility to enforce that in any way they can. I have made suggestions and signage. I'm also on the board at my HOA. And we have put up signs. It has been effective. I wrote to the town manager, the constituent that represents the town for the town manager, Jessica Hind. It took me 3 emails and a phone call before I got a response. Okay, so that was concerning to me. When I did get a response, it was a little, you know, there's really nothing much we can do about the dog feces. Here's the policy. And signs don't work. And I've been in contact with council member Barrett. I also shared that there was a carcass of a coyote for over 4 months, 10 yards away from the park bench, across from on Lambert Lane, across from the entrance to the Highlands Mobile Home Park. I called it UAPD. Oral Valley PD, because I was like, hey, what do we do about this? They took a report. They said they would contact an officer to check it out and then obviously direct it to the right people, right? It didn't get picked up to the week of the 20th of February when I got an email from Ms. Hind and I actually got an email from Ms. Barrett that it was finally collected. And I got the I got the information that it really wasn't the town's job, but they did it anyway. Well, it is the town's responsibility to direct those things to the appropriate people. So, and number three, just another bullet point, it is, you know, overgrown and trash and everything. And I'm wondering, does the town drive around and look for these things? There's a 4x8 piece of hardy board, sheetrock, laying on the side, south side of the road by the golf course crossing, if you all know, just probably east of La Cañada. It's been there for a month. Is anybody going to pick it up? I was in the Army for 27 years. If anything stayed more than 3 hours, we painted it. So I'm ready to go out there and paint it if nobody's going to pick it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blandenburgo. So, Ms. Jacobs, these items that have been mentioned by our two residents, could we get some follow-up with those, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to the consent agenda, and I've had a request to pull item C. So I move to approve the consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
Seconded by Vice Mayor Barrett. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 6-0. We'll go to item C, and Councilmember Green asked that this be pulled from the consent.
The question I have is, what will the process be going forward with this? And I think Mr. Abraham probably is in the best position to answer that for me.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Green, so what the resolution tonight is to approve a notice of intent to increase water rates. And what this does is a state statute requirement. And what it does, it puts into motion three things. One, it makes our water rates analysis report available for public viewing by placing a copy in the lobby of the administration building, as well as our water utility website. Also, it directs the town clerk to publish the resolution in a newspaper and of general circulation at least 20 days prior to the public hearing. And also, thirdly, it schedules the public hearing for June 1st, 2022. And this is when council will consider adoption of the proposed water rate increases. So the action you'd be taking tonight does not approve any rate change or anything of that sort. It just sets into a motion the regulatory requirements to begin the process.
In other words, it's following the state mandate for the process. Is that correct?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Green, that's correct.
Great. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you.
You want to make a motion to approve
that? I would move that we approve item C as written.
Second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? So motion by Councilmember Green, seconded by Councilmember Jones Ivy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Nicholson has joined us via Zoom. We'll go to the regular agenda item. Mr. Standish, item 2.
Discussion and possible action on bringing neighborhood meetings back to in-person.
Okay, this was my item to add, so Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes, please, Vice Mayor Barrett.
Okay, thank you. I'll just make a motion. I move to return neighborhood meetings to being in-person and ask staff to look into and bring back options to provide simultaneous digital participation if possible.
I second that motion.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
I'm definitely in agreement with this. I think it's time. I have recognized from CDC and other information sources that COVID rates, though they may not be going down as rapidly as we'd like to have them here in the state, they are on their way down. And so I think it's about time that we reinstitute it, bringing back neighborhood meetings in person.
Councilmember Green?
I would certainly agree with that. I think there's so much more gleaned from having the actual individual at the microphone or in the meeting. You miss all the nonverbal communication. I mean, we've done okay with having it done through the television, so to speak, but I think there's just a lot more gained, and you also can ask follow-up questions much more easily. So I think this is a good idea.
Any more discussion? Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say that I feel like it's important that neighborhood meetings not be viewed as a Q&A about what is going to be in an area, but instead be viewed as an opportunity to work with residents, hear their concerns, work towards, you know, win-win compromise solutions when possible. So I think that having them in person will help to facilitate that versus it's just difficult on Zoom, like Councilmember Green mentioned, to ask a follow-up question or make sure that, you know, we have time limits to make sure one person doesn't monopolize, but then that can be difficult to have a back and forth and things like that, which we typically do in neighborhood meetings. So thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Mr. Standish, item 1 of the regular agenda.
Discussion and possible action regarding a proposed conceptual site plan and landscape plan for a 7-lot single-family residential subdivision located south and west of Tortolita Mountain Circle.
I'd like to invite Kyle Packer, planner, to come and present this item. Thank you, Mr. Packer.
Good evening, Town Council. Thank you for bringing me up tonight to discuss this proposed 7-lot residential subdivision. Next slide, please. The purpose of my presentation tonight is to discuss the conceptual site and landscape plans for this 25-acre, 7-lot, R1-144 subdivision that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended for approval at their February 1st meeting. Next slide, please. This subdivision is to be known as part of Stone Canyon 9 and is located south and west of the majority of Stone Canyon and Tortolita Mountain Circle. Next slide, please. Here, a closer shot shows that it borders Pima County land not within the boundaries of Oro Valley. It will also be accessed via a southern extension of Rocky Highlands Drive. Next slide, please. I'd like to take a moment to address the foremost issue heard at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, which was a zoning violation on the site. Previously, the site was used for unpermitted earth stockpiling, as seen in the upper two photos on the right. A revised zoning violation letter with stipulations on remediation was issued in August. This letter gave the owner and developer 12 months to remove the earth stockpiles and begin work on an approved subdivision plan or fully revegetate and remediate the site. To date, the applicant has obtained all necessary permits for earth and stockpile, provided dust control and hydro seeding, which has begun to take effect, and continues to move forward with the conceptual site plan and landscape plan for this proposed subdivision, which will provide the remaining remediation through landscaping associated with the installation of the subdivision street and building envelopes. Town staff and the applicant continue to work together, and the application before you tonight is a part of that process. Next slide, please. The images on this slide show the landscaping to be performed with the initial development of this site for the 7-lot subdivision. The remaining disturbed areas will be hydro-seeded or landscaped in accordance with the Stone Canyon HOA requirements. Next slide, please. Looking to the conceptual design itself, the proposal meets zoning code requirements, including R1 144 standards, the design standards and design principles, and the requirements of the airport environs zone. The area right or east of the orange line on this plan has heights restricted by the airport environs zone. This zone is designed to provide safety for residents near and aircraft operating out of the La Cholla Airpark. By situating the building envelopes for these lots to the west of this line, the applicant has assured there will be no issue regarding heights on these lots. Next slide, please. In summary, the proposed subdivision meets the zoning code, design principles, and design standards. Its use and design is similar to those surrounding it. As such, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval. As a reminder, a code-compliant site design must ultimately be approved. Thank you, Mayor and Council. That is my presentation. The applicant is here tonight as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Packer, for your presentation. I do have a blue card for this agenda item, and I'd like to invite Mark Elson to come forward. And Mr. Elson, if you'd please state your name and whether or not you're a resident of Oral Valley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm Mark Elson. I am a resident of Oro Valley, and more to the point, I own the property immediately to the west of the proposed subdivision, and so I have a vested interest in what's going on there. I appreciate Mr. Packer's presentation. He added some additional information this evening that I don't believe was present at the Planning Commission regarding the environmental remediation that is needed on that property. I am very concerned about making sure that all of the remediation is getting completed, because the plans that were posted on the town website were really focused on just landscaping along the new roads to be added. And if you're at all familiar with the property there, it's been completely scraped down to just bare flat land, and there's some substantial effort that's required in even remediating topology. And so as the adjoining landowner, I'm a little concerned about that just for drainage purposes. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you joining us tonight and expressing those concerns. I'd like to open it up to council questions at this point.
Mr. Mayor, can we have the presentation from the applicant first?
I didn't see a presentation by the applicant.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. And you're correct. I did not send one because this slide right here does the trick. I really don't have a whole lot to add, honestly. This, by general plan standards, is a very low-density residential subdivision under existing zoning with dedicated building envelopes. It is addressing a historic issue that we can talk about more if you like, but I think it's been resolved. So at any rate, functionally connected to Stone Canyon and the larger Rancho Vistoso PAD. So it all works together. This has been, believe it or not, envisioned for many, many years. So happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olan. So again, I'll open it up to questions by council. Mr. Packer, I had a question regarding, there were two, Mr. Elson, Ellison spoke, there was another resident who spoke at the public hearing, but in the report it didn't indicate whether, you know, what their specific concern was, whether they were in favor, opposed.
If I may, Mayor, Council, the concern has really been from the two property owners, and of course the speaker this evening, regarding ultimate remediation of the site. So in terms of the actual subdivision, My understanding is folks are looking forward to them being developed to a Stone Canyon standard. And the HOA for Stone Canyon will be part of the review process for all the landscaping and remediation for the site outside of the building pads once they're done.
So the HOA is responsible for that?
No, I'm sorry. They're responsible for approving the plans, the landscape plans, the look. There's a specific Stone Canyon look and palette.
Remediation itself, what assurance can we provide to Mr. Ellison and the other person that this will be followed through with?
Yes. So, Mayor, the terms of the violation assurance agreement provides both monetary assurance as well as staff enforcement capability if things aren't ultimately completed. To date, all remediation steps have been on time and have made specific significant levels of progress. So roughly 95% of the material that was on the site has been removed. There is still fill on the site under, a recently issued grading permit, and that will be part of the future construction of the subdivision. So everything is going to plan. And this is something that staff is monitoring continuously.
Thank you, Mr. Vela. It looked like there was a council member on our Zoom that may have a question. I just can't see. Okay, a couple. Council Member Bowen, then Council Member Jones-Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question for staff. Is the Stone Canyon 9 zoning violation resolved as of today, March 2nd, 2022?
The Stone Canyon, if I may, Mayor, Member Bowen, in terms of permit issuance, it has been resolved. They're operating under a valid grading permit today. In terms of ultimate resolution of the assurance agreement, the final steps are ultimate landscaping, remediation, and construction of these homes. This plat is part of the remediation process and plan. So there's still steps to go, but right now they are currently operating under all necessary permits.
Okay. Thank you. Next question. When I read the February 1st planning and zoning staff write-up, I see the text, while a zoning violation is active on these properties regarding non-permitted earth stockpiling, pursuing this development offers a path forward for the applicant to resolve the matter. My question is, in the view of staff, what are the other possible paths forward for resolution of the existing zoning violation?
If I may, Mayor, Member Bowen, there are essentially two paths. One is remediation as development of these homes happens. So we set up the landscaping appropriately around the homes, as well as addressing drainage and removal of earth and material, all in concert with the development of the subdivision. Staff sense that is the most productive way to proceed, and that is the way the applicant is proceeding. The other path is to outright remove every bit of import on the site, and again, there's a very limited amount there now, and ask for the entire site to be re-landscaped and remediated, just to watch it be ripped up again for new homes to go in. Those are the two paths. So we have taken what I think is the fairly obvious constructive means to get this accomplished.
Okay. Another question. Is it possible that given the longstanding nature of this nonconformance, that a previous rezoning of that parcel might have been a path forward while it was being used as a rock quarry and a nursery?
If I may, Mayor, Member Bowen, could you repeat the question? I don't quite understand the question. Thank you.
My original question was, what are all of the paths that staff might see as available to us? I believe you mentioned two, which was either proceeding as we are or taking the steps to completely cure the violation. In view of the fact that when I review the information, I see that the violation is longstanding and it's likely been there for over a decade. Was there ever a possible path forward that, since this is a nursery and it's being used for clearly a non-conforming use on R144 residential, was rezoning of this parcel while it's being used as a nursery a possible option?
I understand. Thank you, Councilmember Bowen. So the rezoning was a means to accomplish several things. It was primarily a means to fix a longstanding annexation translational zoning issue, not just for this parcel, but for other parcels around it that were perhaps substandard in size. These parcels are not substandard in size. The applicant, as part of that translational zoning process, that did help clear a path towards pursuing this plat once that issue was rectified. So the rezoning in itself was a step toward the resolution. This is the second major step toward resolution, the plat.
Okay, thank you. The next question, when I read the March 2nd council write-up for tonight's meeting, I see the following statement in the write-up. The application has been reviewed for conformance with the Oral Valley Zoning Code and has been found to be in conformance with all zoning requirements. My related question is reviewing whether the land for which a rezoning is requested has any existing zoning violations, is that part of our Oral Valley application review processes or not?
There are a few nuances there, Councilmember Bowen. So right now, I want to make it clear that the property now has all the necessary permits. So the operation right now is legal in terms of being permitted. The material there is permitted as part of a Type 3 grading permit. The remediation plan, which is part of the assurance agreement, involves the final step, which is building the homes. So they're tied together in that sense. But at the same token, it's important to understand that the zoning violation process is an administrative function. And it's the preliminary plat process is a town council function, and they're really separate actions. But they're related in the sense that they're steps toward a greater good of making sure that the site is brought back to a Stone Canyon standard. So I hope that's helpful.
Okay. Next question. When I attended the December 2nd, 2021 transitional zoning request item, I wanted to ask the staff, was this existing zoning violation, which impacts two of the parcels, or three of the parcels, was it actually mentioned when we requested translational zoning that there's also an open zoning violation for three of the parcels for which we were requesting a rezoning?
Mayor, Council, Councilmember Bowen, no, it wasn't, as I recall. The focus of the translational zoning fix, if you will, was to correct an error not just for this parcel or these parcels, but a greater area, including three other parcels that are adjacent that are substandard in size. It was fixing a town error from many years prior.
Thank you. The next question is, how long has the planning department been aware of the Stone Canyon 9 site violation?
The violation was first reported in 2020 by one of the adjacent neighbors. That triggered a fair amount of research relative to the site and intensive negotiations with the property owner. This was a complicated zoning violation. We had to wade through layers of discussions with the applicant as to whether or not this was a legal non-conforming use. the storage of plant material and debris first started, as far as we could tell, back in 2002, prior to being annexed into the town. So that involved working with Pima County in terms of trying to find evidence of permits and whatnot. So this was a very extensive and involved process, and it involved a translational zoning fix as well as a plat approval, which is where we are tonight. So most zoning violations are remedied within 2 to 6 months. But now and again, because our policy is to achieve voluntary compliance, rather a litigious path, the time frames have been long, and I appreciate the neighbors' patience, but the issues have been very involved. And I believe we are at a positive ending point, which I anticipate by the end of the summer to see homes being built, as well as the actual landscaping and remediation.
Okay, thank you. Next question. Do I understand your previous response correctly? So while the stockpiling may have been occurring for decades, it's quite possible that the staff was unaware of this until they were informed by a resident such as John Hutchins in 2020?
Mayor, Member Bowen, I can speak from my knowledge. And my knowledge is learning of it as of 2020. We have records, and that triggered a fair amount of research. That triggered records relative to issues and concerns with this property that went back as far as 2009. So was staff aware? Other staff? Yes, absolutely. But again, there is a starting point in terms of receiving the violation of having to determine whether or not this was a legal nonconforming use.
Thank you. The next question, is there a process by which the town makes regular visits to all areas of the town to ensure that we don't have any new unreported zoning violations? Do we do a regular scan of our town?
So if I may, Mayor, Member Bowen, yes, we do, actually. We do regular reviews, particularly with focus on signage as well as outdoor lighting. But we are primarily driven on a complaint basis, okay? So we do have inspectors out in the field. They're the eyes and ears of the department on such matters. When they see things, they are addressed. But do we have a programmatic review of every possible zoning violation on a regular basis in the field? No. No, we do a targeted reviews, spot checks, and we're very much reliant on taking complaints by neighbors.
Okay.
Mr.
Thank you. Based on the response that we're primarily focused and activated by complaints by neighbors, and the complaint by this neighbor took place in 2020. Can you describe what actions the town has taken since the time we first heard the complaint in 2020 and say, for example, the neighborhood meeting in February of 2021, and then in the time between that meeting and August, where I understand a renewed agreement for remediation by August of 2022 was taken? In other words, can you kind of walk us forward from when you first heard about this from a resident and what steps the town took and why at that time?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to call a point of order for our attorney.
Yeah, this is a plat approval matter, which is an administrative matter. However, staff tonight brought the issue of the zoning matter, the code violation really matter. And so by opening that, it doesn't change the council's authority with what it has to do tonight, but I think it does allow Councilmember Bowen to ask these questions. I think Councilmember Bowen's just about done. Is that correct, Councilmember Bowen?
I'm about halfway done, actually.
All right. Councilmember Green.
It seems to me we have a violation of Robert's Rules of Order. We have one council member monopolizing the time of the entire group.
I appreciate that, but he is entitled to ask his questions. So hopefully we can expedite that process.
Carry on, Councilmember Bowen.
May I proceed?
You may.
Okay. Next question. Has the Stone Canyon 9 property, has it started the following town planning and zoning processes with an active zoning violation? And the processes are, was there a zoning violation at the time of 2004 annexation?
There was a identified zoning violation in 2009 per town records.
Okay. So do I interpret your answer as no, because 2009 is later than 2004?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Was there an active zoning violation at the time of the February 18th, 2020 2021 neighborhood meeting for case 2002-144?
Yes.
Okay. Was there an active zoning violation on December 21st, 2021, when council addressed transitional zoning per ordinance 21-11?
So a grading permit was issued in August 2013, so that thereby brought the property into compliance with town requirements.
Do I understand correctly the grading permit was provided in 2013, 2013?
Sorry, 2021.
Okay. Okay, so did we have an open violation at the time of that council meeting?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Did we have an open violation at the time of the February 1st, 2022 Planning and Zoning Commission approval of conceptual site plan and landscaping plan?
No.
Okay. And then finally, I think the answer will be no. Do we have an open violation as of tonight?
No, they have all the necessary permits.
Okay, thank you. Next question is, what tools does the planning department have available to you to enforce compliance for a zoning violation such as the one that's occurring at Stone Canyon 9?
So the number one tool is a willingness to achieve voluntary compliance. And that is the first phase with any zoning violation issue. Absent that, the town has the ability to cite folks into court associated with potential daily fines till compliance is achieved.
And is that enforcement authority, is that part of our town code or is that part of the ARS?
Town code.
Okay. Next question. Are you aware of any other cases in Oro Valley where the planning department has allowed known zoning violations to persist for at least 1 year?
Not that I'm aware of off the top. But again, it depends on the complexity of the situation. To again achieve voluntary compliance versus a litigious situation.
Okay, and the decision of whether to further pursue voluntary compliance or to pursue litigation, is that within your purview or is that within the purview of someone up your chain of command?
It's within the planning and zoning administrator's purview, but certainly in consultation with town, the town attorney, as well as the town manager's office.
Councilmember Bowen, I'm not sure how much more you have to go, but to stay on the agenda item, you would need to stay on matters related to not general code violation enforcement, but directly related to this matter.
Okay, thank you. When I read the write-up, I see the following text. The remediation plan for the site includes pursuing development as proposed or restoring vegetation to pre-disturbance conditions within 12 to 24 months from the issuance of the revised zoning letter, which was issued in August of 2021. What is the staff basis for projecting that 12 to 24 months from August 2021 is an adequate amount of time to restore the vegetation to Oral Valley standards?
Mayor, Member Bowen, professional experience and understanding timelines required for development.
Isn't this the timeline that's more related to the growing of vegetation rather than development?
All the above. Landscape plan is a component of development.
Okay, so in your view, 12 to 24 months is adequate to meet our standards?
It is, and the timeframes, I mean, it's important to note, Member Bowen, that the timeframes issued in there also include a clause that the timeframes may be extended if substantial progress is being made. And to date, I want to express thanks to the property owner for making substantial progress. And we do see an end game here, a final result not far away in terms of an improved site to Stone Canyon development standards.
Okay. Thank you, Beyer. And Mr. Mayor, those are my questions.
Councilmember Jones-Ivey.
Mr. Mayor. My two concerns have been addressed already, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones-Ivey. Any other discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon?
Yeah, I think I have about 40 questions, so I'll try to get through them in the next 2 hours. First question, what type of material has been stockpiled on this lot for since the early 2000s?
It's dirt, boulders. To be used in landscaping.
So native dirt and boulders and perhaps some landscape debris. So nothing toxic, nothing foreign, nothing that was harmful to the lot, the land, the environment, or the neighbors, correct?
Correct.
Now, my question comes into the term of violation. This land was part of Rancho Vistoso. It was in Pima County. It was used as a staging area for exactly this, stockpiling boulders and dirt and temporarily landscape waste to facilitate the development of the rest of the community. In 2004, it was annexed into the town. Annexed as is. How could there have been a violation, and why do we keep hearing the word violation of zoning codes of Oro Valley when it was annexed in its pre-existing condition? Mm-hmm. And is there evidence that if any of the necessary permits, if necessary to begin with, were not received from Pima County?
And then Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, so the due diligence research we did with Pima County did not yield a permit, nor through our system. So this activity is allowed with a necessary Type 3 grading permit. Stockpiling is permitted. So the violation, which is a strong word, grant you that, certainly involves getting a very basic permit in terms of remedying it and then specifying timelines when the dirt would be removed within a reasonable time frame.
So grading permits are quite common, particularly stockpiling permits.
They're
basically, It's a short application. I own this property. I wish to stockpile native material on it within these limits, and it's reviewed and approved. So it's not like this was some horrendous violation, if it was, because the records going back to that time frame can be difficult. And as you said, Rancho Vistoso probably had hundreds of permits from Pima County to go through and try to determine whether it in actuality was never permitted or permitted under another permit that covered it is possible. So my concern is that we're throwing around this term violation and it's being addressed like it's some hideous crime that should never have happened, that town staff should have been aware of. It's been existing all this time, and somehow the property owner should potentially not be allowed to go forward because of this horrible violation that has existed on the property, when in reality, everyone knew, I certainly knew 20 years ago, that this was a stockpile site for the development of Rancho Vistoso. So that's my comments regarding this entire situation we just spent an hour on.
Any other discussion? Okay. Motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move to approve the proposed conceptual site plan and landscape plan for a 7-lot single-family residential subdivision located south and west of Tortolita Mountain Sun Mountain Circle, case number 2100964.
Second.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Discussion, Councilmember Bowen.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I tried to get my hand up before the motion was made. I'd like to let the public and my fellow staff council members know I was made aware of this being a violation, not by a resident, but by a letter from staff, from code compliance to the applicant. So this isn't me just throwing around the term violation. I wasn't aware if it was a violation at all until I read the letter on March 1st, 2021. And it is a violation. There was no grading permit that could be found between 2004 and 2021.
Mr. Mayor, I call for the question.
So I would appreciate, let's let Elder or Councilmember Bowen finish his statement. And Councilmember Bowen, are you finished?
Yes. No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was almost finished before that interruption. And I would
this
just
is not
like,
an interruption. It's a point of order under Robert's Rules of Order. I call for the question.
Mr. Mayor, when the council member Solomon just interrupted me, he did not say point of order.
Question
he simply interrupted
will
me.
Be called as soon as Councilmember Bowen finishes the statement he's in the middle of. When that statement is complete and only that statement, the question has been called.
Thank you.
Yes, and in sum, Mr. Mayor and my fellow council members, the key to this for me isn't the violation. It's the nature of enforcement that takes place in our town. I asked questions about whether we've ever gone back there to take a look. Do we know? And I'm really concerned because I hear from staff consistently that we need to go faster.
Okay. Point of order, Mr. Mayor, once again,
you don't need
again,
to.
You
don't need to. Councilmember Bowen, the agenda item is the plat matter. And with regard to that particular topic on this property, you're within the agenda, but after that, you're not. So I appreciate the questions.
And I appreciate the fact I wasn't the only council member to go off topic. Councilmember Solomon went off topic in attacking me as well. And I just want to say,
Mr. Mayor, point of order, this is absolutely irrelevant to the question on the floor.
That's all. Going off topic was not exclusive to me, pardon me.
Okay. Any more discussion? Or there was called a question. Okay. So Councilmember Solomon has made the motion. Councilmember Nicholson seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay.
Nay.
The motion passes 5-1. Any future agenda items?
Mr. Mayor, I believe we had a total of 7 members of council.
Melanie left.
Okay. Hearing no future agenda items, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion passes. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Joyce.